Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
There's only three things I know on this bitch of an earth. The PS5 is big. The McRib is back. And you're listening to Hey Fam.
Ho Fam. Welcome to Ho Fam.
We're banking these episodes.
We're doing six episodes in four days.
2 weeks. Yeah, unheard of.
No, but like, we recorded on a Thursday. It's now Monday.
Six episodes in 2 days. Yeah, yeah.
We did three episodes on Thursday and now we're doing three episodes on Monday.
Damn!
I don't know when this one's going up, but hey, yeah. Welcome to a very...
So it's a good thing we're doing it with very timely information.
Well, I mean, for
My
us...
My art has ended.
Well, don't... Dude, fucking... Oh. Still, I was going to do a big build-up.
Well, Mike is the one doing...
I lost my mind. Like, we got two pieces of critical HeyFam lore info this week. Like, you know, not just like... Hey Fam lore.
These are the foundations.
Exactly.
We
spent months talking about these subjects and big updates from these pillars.
Creative geniuses. Sexy Bong and Jamie
Viagra.
Kennedy.
Viagra and Sexy Bong. Sexy Bong. And Jamie Kennedy.
And Jamie Kennedy.
So the first
piece
of news.
What's the director called again?
Larry.
Larry.
Big Larry.
Big L.
But yeah, the first piece of news was actually brought to my attention by a listener, Luke, who messaged me on Instagram. And he said, dude, you guys haven't talked about it yet and it's weird. Did you know that Jamie Kennedy did a 4-part interview on his YouTube with the director of Son of the Mask?
So I knew, but this was a different series to the one we started last year where he's like, fine, I'll do a tell-all.
Like the genuine best thing that guy's ever done.
Yeah, it was like a 3-part series, wasn't it?
I think he like lost momentum for actually making it good though. Like I think it could have, if he just did it as one video.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because he broke down like the intention.
Part one
the
though
production.
Is so good. And then, yeah. And you actually
you kind of feel for Jamie Kennedy in 2004, not now.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a part of him where like he was kind of promised this. Kind of, I guess you could call it like a movie concept that is really, really prevalent now. It's kind of, in fact, the only type of movie that's out, like the, you know, comedy, action, Marvel formula. He was kind of promised that, but without like any buy-in from the studio, without any trust and without anyone trusting it. And then we find out that we got what, you know, what they say is a very watered down version and like studio interfered version of Son of the Mask. But he was like, essentially, he uses the phrase so many times. It was like an MCU movie beforehand.
Oh, it's bonkers. Yeah. So that he released, I mean, for those who don't know, Jamie Kennedy was a star of a movie.
Tim Avery.
He played Tim Avery in the sequel to The Mask called Son of the Mask.
Shot in Sydney, Australia.
I think we spent, God.
Maybe 6 to 8 months.
Yeah. Six, like, where we would be like, hey, today we're gonna review the new. There were no MCU movies for a while. So instead we only talked about 2004.
You know what? They were right.
Flop.
We gravitated towards it because it was filling that void.
And if you haven't seen or heard us talk about this movie,
go
just
back.
Look up Don't You Just Love Halloween on YouTube. It will take you to the one of the greatest cinematic clips ever. I've watched it, I think, over 200 times.
I watched it a few times today.
Really?
Yeah, because I was trying to get a screenshot from it with the leg.
Wait,
did we see that scene before the movie, I think?
I think we hadn't. We hadn't really seen... I think we did a few... We were talking about...
Yeah.
I think I brought it up. Like, I've never watched Son of the Mask.
I hadn't either. And we were like,
so
oh, yeah.
Hated. And then, yeah. We went in blind. And
that scene was just insane. Like...
Yeah. And that scene is... It's the highlight and low light of the movie.
And there's a lot to be said for it too. Not only is it this like the scene that like has become a language unto itself, you know, internet culture has gravitated towards that scene. There are like memes, there are like 4chan posts that like bring up that scene, like phrases from that scene. But also it was shot in Sydney in a place called Curzon Hall.
Where I had my year 10 formal.
We had your formal. Then we started.
We got to go there. It's pretty close to my house.
We have
now
to go there.
Yeah.
Then we, well, I drove, yeah, past it on the way to your birthday last year. I remember I had a slight pilgrimage, but then we read more about this production, how much Jamie Kennedy hates Sydney. He's quoted in the Sydney Morning Herald.
Tried to get pussy from Sydney Chicks.
Saying stuff like Australian girls suck.
He tried to get the letter A from Sydney Chicks.
He tried to turn that A to a V. Yeah. She was not going near it. It was insane. It captivated us. And then we were just like obsessed with this movie where people who listen to this podcast like started sending us like we have the largest collection in
yeah
the world.
Angus is the reason we're banking a bunch of episodes because Angus is about to go to Bali tomorrow.
I'm gonna
take all of that Son of the Mask merch home with me tonight so I can make a TikTok about our insane collection.
Just insane amounts. I also have the baby Japanese post. Do you want that?
I'll take all that shit.
Yeah, that's
it. I'll take all that garbage.
Yeah. Now, where did the wife put the divorce?
No one else talks about this movie.
Jamie Kennedy does. He and us are the only people that talk about it. We're on his radar because you've got a top comment on a YouTube. He has very limited windows for cameos. For your birthday, I requested this, like, you know, I wasn't being rude or anything. I was like, this movie means a lot to my friend. He, like, grew up near where it was made. And famously, Jamie Kennedy wrote back, no thanks, which has become its own lexicon
for
us. Yeah,
absolutely. No thanks.
So that means, like,
has all away.
He's spoken to us and he has only said no thanks, which in itself is kind of perfect. Like, I prefer that to a cameo.
Yeah, so he interviewed, like, you know, this is after a good 6 months since his last video about Son of the Mask, the series he never really finished. He interviewed the director of Son of the Mask. His name is it Larry?
Just Larry. Larry the cable guy.
Yeah.
Larry the mask guy.
Lawrence Guterman. Larry Guterman.
Yeah.
He's most famous for directing Cats and Dogs. Is it Cats versus Dogs?
Cats and Dogs.
Cats and Dogs.
And I think he says even, like, is it a Garfield, A Tale of Two Kitties? Whoa.
He did some of the animation in Ants.
Yeah.
And no, he hasn't done any Garfield shit.
Oh, okay.
He did a TV show called Out of Jimmy's Head.
Cool.
A teen sitcom from
2007.
But yeah, look, he interviews Larry and...
Well, this is kind of around the era of the Snyder Cut, you know, like... Schneider.
Jamie Kennedy mispronounces so many people's names.
It's great.
He calls Kevin Feige.
Yeah, Feige. Schneider Cut. But,
the Schneider Cut.
He brings up the Ayer Cut, which is...
Yeah, yeah.
And you can see that Jamie's like hanging out in those, you know... The truth.com.
He's radicalized himself.
He's radicalized.
Because the bulk of his YouTube is him.
He's been Avery pilled.
He did a video last week about
Trump being raided.
Oh, he's done that. He did one about Roe v. Wade being upturned.
Yeah.
After starring in a movie about why Roe v. Wade should be upturned.
Yeah.
He also did one about Adam Levine, and he's saying that he feels bad for Adam Levine and these bitches, you know, like when you're a celebrity rules, there are certain rules that shouldn't have to matter to you. Like,
awesome.
It's fucked.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And he looks like absolutely insane. He looks like that photo of Nick Nolte when he was arrested. You know, the one where he's got like the Hawaiian shirt.
He genuinely looks like a ball sack because he just has like a very pube growth beard that's gotten way too long.
Yeah, he doesn't, and you know, he is very far and away, he's a Randy character from the Scream movies, who's this like clean.
Yeah, well, I think of the pink haired character he played of Romeo and Juliet, which I would say is
great,
like,
role.
Handsome as well. Like, you know, he's a good looking dude in that.
I mean, it's pretty hard to be handsome in a movie alongside Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yep.
But I'm sure Baz has
Super Mario Odyssey.
Bringing out the best in you. Actually reading in Romeo and Juliet, how, I don't know if you remember, but at the start of that film, Jamie Kennedy's like character has a black eye. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and that's a real...
Yeah, he got in a fight with a local that night. So This movie was also shot in Mexico, so I'm just... I think he was radicalized back then, if you catch my drift.
Yeah, he's on that Wahlberg. I think he would have thrown a few... I think things would have been different if he was on the 9/11 flight.
I think things would have been different if I helped Donald build that wall. So, you also know he says all this shit and has never voted in his life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Like, he's one of those guys who, like... I love, like the people, like the Joe Rogans of the world or something, who are like lay out.
He's like a wannabe Joe Rogan. That's what
But they're people who like spend all their time talking about this stuff, but then don't even vote.
Like, this guy was in Romeo and Juliet. He was in
Scream 1 and 2.
And huge films. Now makes videos that get like 1,000 views on YouTube.
About the slap at the Oscars. Like, that is his remit. It's insane. While he does it. And the funny thing is, this is why he and you and I are so similar. We both record podcasts. We both eat and drink during them, surrounded by Son of the Mask paraphernalia. Yeah. Like, I can't think of anybody else who does that besides us and Jamie Kennedy.
His videos do Hey Fam numbers.
They do Hey Fam numbers. But you and I didn't have to star in Scream 1 or 2 to get
That's true. Or a much hated Mask sequel.
Or a hit TV show, which for some reason,
Did you see that one that I sent a post that I can't believe in my studying of Jamie Kennedy so far, we've never come across this before. It's one where he plays a break dancer who goes into a coma in the 80s and he wakes up and it's 2003. It's called Kicking It Old School. I think we should watch it. It looks fucked.
Yeah, 100%. Kicking It Old School. And you know he's like, he's using phrases that are like a little outdated. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because there's like one, like his co-star is one woman. Then he has an Asian break dancer, a fat Latino break dancer, and a black
That's a Romeo and Juliet. Yeah. Maybe that was his defense in Romeo and Juliet on set when he got punched by what I assume was a Mexican local because he went to a local bar and was beat up. Maybe his defense was, I actually am a breakdancer who was frozen in the 80s and I didn't know we weren't allowed to say that anymore.
Yeah, totally. It's actually what's it called? It's Kicking a true story. Kicking It Old School.
All right, let's see if it's available. I guarantee it's on Amazon Prime.
I already have so much homework for us while you're in Bali, like for myself Kicking at the very it least. Old school. And we're going to learn all about that homework in this episode, but
Kicking It Old School.
Still trying to search it. Kicking It Old School. Good on Siri for spelling it.
No, nothing.
It's actually got to spell it the right way. Siri is. Oh no, it is. Yeah, right. No, she's spelling it the
Jamie
right way.
Kennedy.
I guess it's not on iTunes.
Yeah, it's this searches everything. You know, like uses all the streaming apps.
He's in Curious George 2, another new thing I'm learning. Oh, yeah. He talks about being in a movie called Max Keeble's Big Move.
Yeah, that's a Disney, channel movie.
And he says that people, recognize him from that movie now.
I think this movie is probably responsible for, a bunch of memes you and I see.
Is that with, Drake or Josh?
Yeah, I think it's, Spy Kids era. You know what I mean? Sure. So, I think it's, Tremors. That's right. There's an episode, Why I'm No Longer in Tremors. Did you see that?
I'm sure. He was in at least three of them.
Yeah.
He's in Bowfinger? Crazy. He does a
Cupid Inc. I told you it'd be Tubi.
Oh, man. He's doing some Tubi shit. Look, what the fuck hat is he wearing?
This is wild.
look for Kicking It Old School.
Guys.
We don't have time to go through
his. It's probably on YouTube, right?
Reef High Tide 2. Okay.
Heckler's at Docker, which I actually kind of want to see. That's the one where he interviews everyone about being heckled.
Yeah, and comedians stuff. But it's years and years old footage, and a lot of comedians that were in it were I really wished that I wasn't in this stuff. Movie.
I mean, that's why I never say anything, you know?
Yeah. You never record yourself.
Never, especially anything. Two episodes.
Three episodes.
Three episodes.
So, Larry, the director of Son of the Mask, after seeing Jamie bring it up again, talking about
it entered the lexicon. You know, he's probably listening to Hey Fam.
Of course he is.
He's probably in the Son of the Mask's Discord channel we have.
The 4chan.
Fire memes. Yeah. He's probably made the Evangelion theme song mashup.
which exists, by the way. You should look it up.
Son we didn't make Mask, it Evangelion. Either.
We didn't make it. It just somehow we manifested it.
Yeah.
Larry comes to Jamie Kennedy's house with his original cut
VHS.
He brings a VHS
and a VCR
and a screen, I think,
a monitor
to Jamie Kennedy's house, and they watch.
I like to think Jamie Kennedy doesn't have a television.
Well, he constantly brings up the fact he's asking if things were in the movie.
Yeah,
did that make the final cut of the movie? I don't think he's ever watched Son of the Mask.
No, and so I mean, keeps, you know what? A lot of people don't watch the movies they're in.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of people like Adam Driver.
Adam Driver, I've thought of that as well. Yeah,
yeah. They're just
and those two,
like,
Jamie Kennedy, Adam Driver.
They're the apex of human excellence.
Yeah.
Imagine Jamie Kennedy as Kylo Ren and Adam Driver as Tim Avery.
Damn.
You got a different ass movie.
The world's best roles of all time.
You got a different ass movie.
Can you turn this extremely...
Sidney Poitier, Doc Rowell.
Is that what it is? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it's,
I think it's
a bit confronting. It keeps a...
There's a lot of white hoods on screen.
Yeah.
It's making Levins very uncomfortable. No, it's like... You know, you should be made to feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, not during a podcast where I'm trying to talk about Son of the
Mask. I dedicate every episode to Martin Luther King. Like that. Who was it? Which DJ again did the set? Like the day
David
after
Guetta.
Yeah.
David Guetta.
I'm doing my David Guetta bit.
That was fucking insane.
Just, I have a dream. Hang on.
What's going on? What did you do?
Just getting out of this Sidney Poitier doco.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Cut back to the...
Levins is like, I don't need to feel bad about that right now.
No, I just know I'm suddenly going to stop talking about, like, Son of the Mask and start talking about, like, I don't know, emancipation.
BLM. GLM, Green Lives Matter.
But anyway, Larry's brings this monitor over. They watch Son of the Mask, this cut that he sent to the studio.
Do you reckon Jamie knew it existed and, like, begged him?
He does say so. I remember watching those original
videos. He's like,
videos
there is another cut.
There's a cut, and I swear this was a good movie.
And it's weird because they keep talking about the... it's either the cinematographer or the assistant director's daughter.
Yeah.
Did they use her as like a canary in the coal mine and were like, do you like this movie?
Oh, no.
Is that what she's kind of being used for?
No, you're getting your timelines mixed up. So yeah. Larry's daughter was one when Son of the Mask was being made.
No, but he keeps saying in this recent interview that we both listened to today that he's like, this is the cut that the assistant director's daughter watched with me and was like, yeah, this is good. But they refer to this person. Like,
No. He watches it with his own daughter, like, this year.
Oh, but he also watched it with, like...
A lot of daughters. There's too many daughters in this interview.
It's a family movie.
Too many daughters for anything related to Jamie Kennedy, if you ask me.
Yeah. Well, there is the sperm, Sam.
So, one thing that he talks about as, like, this great moment in the original cut of Son of the Mask that didn't make it to the original release...
Is this in the new interviews? Like, to us?
In the new interviews. He keeps going on about the sperm scene and... Because we watched the Australian release.
Which is a European cut.
Yeah.
The PAL version, if you will.
The sperm scene makes it into the movie.
Yeah.
And what it is, you can watch it. If you look up Son of the Mask Sperm on YouTube.
Chariots of Fire,
I'm surprised you haven't already.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on there. It's like a 90-second clip of after...
I've got it on DVD right there.
After Tim Avery wearing the mask busts in his wife, it cuts
Well,
to,
as he's busting.
As he's busting. We see the sperm like leave his urethra.
Yeah, travel through from the Vas deferens.
Yep, and Chariots of Fire is playing as it's like a race to the finish.
Yeah,
between
there's some
three
very
green sperm,
very crudely animated.
Like it looks like a 1996 era spider bait video.
Yeah. That's exactly what it looks like. It looks like one of the that shit Pixar short with a B, Wally and
totally,
D or something.
Yeah.
But everyone's like, this is very important, but everyone's like, it doesn't hit.
So this is, it's like, dun, 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 as these like three
like fighting
masks are like, and then like, it goes, then it hits the egg.
It like flashes
and
white,
it goes like,
right?
Like this like cartoon squish noise.
Very Chuck Jones.
Well, so this guy, Larry, the director, just fucking creams the Chuck Jones.
Yeah.
I guess because...
He said the first movie was like Tex Avery this
and
is
so
like Chuck Jones.
Chuck Jones. Like two legendary animators.
They mentioned the frog allegory a lot.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Yeah,
one of the... As Steven Spielberg said, it is one of the greatest. The Citizen Kane of cartoon. I had that on VHS as a kid, that
Ribbit.
Short. Yep. I would watch it constantly.
I should watch other
kids. It's like
that.
About being gaslit. Essentially. And I mean, and that's that there is an interesting thing in, and we'll find this later when we talk about Rango, when you make a project that like is beat for beat the thing it's referencing.
Yeah, for sure.
Like it is that movie, Son of the Mask, is part of it is supposed to be about this guy who doesn't want to have a child, who by wearing a mask has a child. And is kind of gaslit by it that it's this kid with fantastic powers and no one believes him.
So they actually talk about one of the earlier concepts for this Mask sequel. It wasn't about the son of the mask. It was about like essentially, you know, Jamie Kennedy plays like some loser guy
like
who finds the mask.
The straight guy of the movie.
Finds the mask but then has to play all these... Every time he puts the mask on, he's a different character.
That's
or he
right.
uses the mask to become different characters.
Because he's a loser.
Which I think makes more sense in terms of Jamie's... range.
Well, like, he was kind of like an impersonator, wasn't he?
Yeah, and
like,
I don't think he's likable enough to play a lead character, whereas I think him playing
several,
I think would have made the movie a bit more palatable. Although it does remind me of Garth from Wayne's World.
Oh, Master of Disguise. Yeah. So what was the plot to that? He just became...
There's mention a little bit. They said that like the original plot that got knocked back was him playing several characters.
And you're right. That was probably where Jamie Kennedy was probably attached. And then that was the plot.
And he only signed on to... because the studio said it would be PG-13. And so yeah. one of the big
And the director
things,
was under the impression it would be PG-13. The yeah. first film was...
But then they go on. They're like, oh, we watched the PG-13 cut. It was so funny. The sperm scene.
They keep
going on about how good the sperm scene is, and we've seen the sperm scene, and it sucks.
It's dog shit.
So I don't believe that this cut, original cut of the movie, is good.
No, like, I don't. As if it's good at all. Like it's two guys that made a piece. Like they're talking about these monumental set pieces in the film, and the things we've seen. They're like, oh, and the car chase. I'm like, this is one of the most gaudy looking like dog shit CGI fest ever.
One thing that they do talk about though. Is the level of craft.
The set design, the production design, and the prop design. Like, and they shout out the Australians much yeah. to the...
And like I have to admit, like that is probably the best thing about this
it
movie.
It reminds me of like George Miller's Babe, Pig in the City and like Tim... And they
yes,
say
absolutely.
They say,
it's
like,
probably the same guys.
Probably is. Yeah, it's just
it's kind
of
Fox
like...
the same Fox Studios backlot.
Very highly yeah. stylized, 1950s, colourful...
Like Alan Cumming's, who plays Loki in this movie.
Oh, he's great as well.
20 costume changes. And
he's also great
someone
in it.
Someone
like,
did
the
these
role.
Insanely good costumes for each one. Yeah, they barely talk about Alan Cumming.
He carries the movie.
Yeah, yeah, for
like,
sure.
You know a movie sucks when you... In this case, unlike the Thor movies where you are kind of supposed to root for Loki, you're not supposed to root for Loki in this.
Yep.
And he's like the best thing about it. You're like, damn. Damn!
Yeah, damn. So one thing where I find myself empathizing with Jamie Kennedy in this is that he kind of... He doesn't want to stop talking about Son of the Mask at one point because Larry's like, you know, let's give it up. Who cares?
Larry's kind of like a professional and is...
He's very likable.
Well, yeah. I guess like you could put like that Sidney Poitier trailer next to Jamie Kennedy and like it's likable. Like you put anyone next to him and like...
Yeah, I'm not slagging on the actual Sidney Poitier movie itself.
No, no, but I mean you could put a fucking like dead ant next to Jamie Kennedy and be like, that guy had a lot of good points. Like... He's also like a professional and somebody who, unlike Jamie Kennedy, like still wants to work in Hollywood, I think. So he's obviously very like, he's just
yeah,
like...
I'm not sure what he does anymore, but yeah, it's surprising to me.
He studied
at
three universities.
Jamie Kennedy says he's yeah. one of the top two smartest people he knows.
Who's the number one? Donald Trump. What I love to just because I listened to it in the audio form like you did.
I was going to say that his number one is the big snake from Tremors.
Oh yeah, yeah. I listened to it
four,
and
four universes.
Jamie Kennedy, he's like timbre and he's the way he talks is it's a cross between Walt Jr. and drunk Mark Ruffalo. Is that?
I was going to say he sounds like the Hulk in She-Hulk.
Well, no, that's what
Mark
I mean.
Ruffalo, of course, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Walt Jr. He's like, hey, what? What's that movie called again?
And especially when Larry is like, you know, he comes across as quite humble and well spoken.
Yeah.
And like, you know, he's going off the
cuff. You feel like
but
him doing this, it's like endangering his potential to work again. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he kind of is regretting because it's funny. A lot of the times you can tell they've spoken off mic and he's like, so Larry, you talking about you know, this guy that did that and come on, what's the story about the cut? You and I want to release. And he's just like, dead silent. Like you can, and I watched some of it in the video form before I realized there was a podcast. Because
oh, is there a podcast? I just put the YouTube on.
Jamie Kennedy has a podcast. Wow. So it's on that feed, which I listen to, which is why I'm so familiar
with
it.
Does he do like an intro for the video or just?
Yeah, he does an intro that I think he's recorded on the toilet on his iPhone. It's just like a really bad promo. He's like, hey guys, you want to record a podcast? You should use Anchor. It's really good. You can put songs on it. Anyway, now. But then it just starts. Yeah, it's just the same as the YouTube.
Hey,
guys, it's Jamie Kennedy. Damn.
But yeah, so one of the parts where I really empathize.
Man, open up those things.
I'll open them up in a minute. When we get to the next topic, you can open them up. These lollies. Yeah. I empathize with him because he doesn't want to stop talking about Son of the Mask because he, and I think rightfully so, thinks that it cost him years of his career. That like, you know, for that, look, maybe the cut was marginally better, but like they blame studio interference.
They say it themselves, though. This movie does everything you're not supposed to in one film. Animals and kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
oh, there's so many. Like, I think that I don't believe that the concept that they went for, like the story, could ever be good.
But yeah, it's either you do the kid in the baby movie or you do the dad who doesn't want to commit to being a dad being gaslit by the baby. Because remember the cut that came out, and this is something that they've spoken about being like big studio interference. Like the second third of the film is dog versus baby movie.
Yeah.
Remember it just becomes that for like 30 minutes.
And it's insufferable.
Yeah. And it's just like, you can tell it's like they saw the trailer for a cats and dogs movie and were like, just do that. But like, I think there is something kind of interesting in the guy that doesn't want to become a father having this child. Like, there's something interesting in that as a movie.
Yeah. Without the dog, like, he can only be the dad when he puts the mask on or something.
Yeah. Like, I don't think the way it's executed or the story, but I think there's something interesting. Like, they kind of say it too. Like, the whole point of the first mask is a guy who's like a humble, quiet guy, and he becomes like life of the party when he puts the mask on.
Yeah.
And that's a brilliant, like, That's that movie. That's why it works so well.
Mm.
It's like Nutty Professor, both the... and also the Clumps. But, you know, it's like all the Nutty Professors. It's just that
Clumps,
classic...
Clumps, Christmas with the...
It's like She-Hulk. You know, someone becomes green. Like
She-Clump.
She-Clumps. Yeah, it's all that shit. But the second one...
The Clumps.
He's kind of like a successful guy to a degree. Like, he works at an animation studio. That's already kind of his dream. Like, he's not a shitty bank teller and hates it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. He's already like, yeah, he works hard enough to maintain that job. He's grown
married.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the guy, like, I remember the tagline for the mask. I always remember is from zero to hero.
Yeah.
And he's like this loser who lives by himself. He's essentially Lloyd
Stanley
Christmas.
Stanley Ipkiss.
Stanley Ipkiss. But yeah, it's kind of funny because you go to Son of the Mask and he's... The worst thing in his life is that he plays Game Boy like a fucking idiot. You know
exactly
what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's got it pretty good.
And he says, who's a face?
Yeah. And also, like, the like chick at work wants to fuck him. Like, when he goes to the party. Like, this one gets invited to parties.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Like, and his dog has a bedroom.
And everyone in this movie knows that it's him when he puts the mask on the next day after the party.
Yeah, they're like, hey, you were great last night.
Yeah.
Oh, how good is the, like, the detour... When they talk about how, like, they all heard, like, his rap, and they're like, we got to put this out.
Yeah, yeah, like,
the,
and apparently they, like, he did a rap from
his turntable cheeks.
He has, like, turntables on his cheeks. He talks about, I want to
see the cut. I was picturing ass cheeks.
Just for that. Oh, wow.
That seems more Jamie Kennedy.
Like, he scratches on his bum.
Yeah. And they couldn't release Can't Take My Eyes Off You, which is why I think it's actually a typo on purpose, because they're like, someone signed a waiver that said they're not allowed to release the original version as a song.
Right.
So I think it means like the original licensee of the, and I, cause
they,
you know,
they couldn't be talking about like the rap as in like shake your ass. Like this,
I think it was longer.
That, shake it, shake it.
I think right. It would be, I think he probably did a longer bit.
Shake your booty.
Remember there's like the metal bit. There's the country bit. I love you, babe. Yeah. It's so funny that it's like,
and the Elvis bit,
him just listening to
that
it.
That was the original. That's
Neil
what Diamond. Daz Lerman first. Oh, that's not Elvis?
No. It's not Neil. It's Neil Young. Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond, yeah.
Yeah, they call it the Neil Diamond bit.
Okay.
But yeah, I like to think Baz Luhrmann.
Well, every way that it do.
I can't take my... No, it's very... they call it the Neil Diamond version on the commentary.
Okay, interesting. You've watched that?
Yeah. Well, of course I have.
I respect you as a journalist.
Just that scene. But yeah, it's so, it is so funny them talking about these like pathetic things that we've seen, and they're talking about it with such like admiration and just like,
oh, I was gonna say, well, that's because they spent like years of their life doing it, and I'm like, oh wait, so have we.
Yeah, but at least we didn't make it. What's worse, us talking about it with nothing to show for it except the largest collection.
I'm pretty sure he, at one point, he refers to the haters, and I'm pretty sure he's talking about you and me.
There's a bit where he says, where he unsuccessfully, well, I'm not a hater, I'm like fascinated, but there's a bit where he talks about the dance sequence, and he tells the director, he's like, oh, you know, like, kids are like really, they think it's fire. Like that.
Yeah.
Like
they low key fire.
They low key fire.
He has to explain to Larry what low key means.
Yeah. And like, you can imagine Larry being like, why is he talking about Alan Cumming?
Yeah.
But I think he knows that scene is like bigger than him. I don't think he understands why or gets.
I think what, like the main draw to it for us is that it is like, yeah, it's bad, but it is also like so much effort has been spent on it.
Yeah,
so
it's not like it's Dumb and Dumber sequel or the Ace Ventura kid movie.
No,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like billions of dollars.
This is someone's crazy twisted vision, and Larry,
this was the first.
Larry was able to give it his all, even though, like, we saw, I guess, an altered version of it. It still is this insane vision that I think gives it more merit.
This movie also has the first photorealistic CG
this year or whatever.
Like the baby, that was like the first time. I don't know if we watched. Maybe I getting confused of all my Son of the Mask lore, but I know I watched the DVD bonus features, which I have, and they talk about how it was. You know, before that, it was like Jar Jar, Gollum, Dobby, like people who were like not human. But the baby is the first time that like live action photorealistic CG was attempted for like a leading character.
So I think he filmed this interview with Larry in like January this year and has, for some insane reason, instead of just uploading like this 2-hour interview,
split in four.
Even in two parts, I would have, but he split it in four, but there's, it just cuts.
Yeah, and then suddenly, same with the podcast.
And then the second one just begins, yeah, like where like the third part will just begin immediately with no intro,
yeah,
from where the second one left off, except he's uploaded them like 3 months apart.
Absurd
of each other.
Absurd social media presence.
Just terrible, terrible, like, you know, way to kind of tell this story that they both clearly want told. At one point, Larry says that like he got some feedback that said that there were scenes in Son of the Mask that reminded whoever watched it of Tim Burton. And Jamie,
and apparently
Kennedy,
the Wachowskis loved it.
So they also talk about Wachowskis. I was very amazed that Jamie Kennedy didn't like use the wrong.
He didn't misgender them.
Yeah, exactly. Use the wrong pronouns
at that time.
Exactly. Larry mentions that someone compared early Son of the Mask
design
to Tim Burton.
Like that, that was speaking.
But Jamie Kennedy latches onto that. He keeps bringing it back up. Tim Burton. And he's like,
he's bringing up Burton and MCU.
And then he's like, MCU. And then
and
he's like,
James Gunn.
And he's also so hooked on the idea. Not even that if this cut was released, he thinks that this movie would have done. It wouldn't be regarded as a flop if it got the release date of July the 4th.
Yeah, he blames Wedding Crashers.
Yeah, yeah. He's like...
Because New Line put out both, right?
At one point, he's like, my career went to shit and the world got Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, no, he's like, my career died and Bradley Cooper was born. That's seriously a quote. You can tell this guy is stewed alone in his house.
I know. He's lost years because of this movie.
Yeah, and he's like, we wanted that July 4th release date. You know, it's a holiday. One of the smartest producers I know. And he lists some guy that I've never heard of. And I know like a lot of...
Yeah, but I feel like not even the director.
No, that's what I mean.
Too.
And
yeah,
he's like, you know, blah, blah. And he's like, huh? And yeah, he's like, you know, he runs this town. He's one of the top producers in Hollywood. He said, you need two things for a great movie. You need the perfect... I forget the first thing. He's like, and you need a great... Oh, you get great marketing.
Yeah, marketing, yeah.
And
yeah,
the best release date.
Right. And so then he goes...
And he said Wedding Crashers took their release date.
He keeps talking about...
But you know what? I was in the States when it came out. It was summer. And I did remember seeing it in July. Like Wedding Crashers at a New York cinema because it was 105 degrees.
Was your face painted red, white, and blue?
Yeah.
And we had a pocket full of firecrackers?
Yeah, baby. I was protesting. I was like, where's Son of the Mask?
I don't know why I like this yet, but I just know it should be here. He keeps bringing up this Tim Burton connection. And at one point he goes, man, I swear to God, if we got that July the 4th release date, you know, you'd be Tim Burton and I'd be your Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp. Yeah, that's incredible. Such an amazing line.
And just like, yeah, he's
the poor director is just like so silent for a lot of it because he's just like having to like decide whether to laugh.
At one point in this, like, the thing is,
offend Jamie by laughing or just let him think that
this
like Jamie essentially is like,
I think Larry likes Jamie.
I guess like you kind of feel sorry for him because if Jamie's like hypothesis is correct, then he's like partly responsible for his like failure of a career.
And so he spent all this time holding on to this interview, you know, divvying up into bits, but he hasn't edited it in any way, shape, or form.
No.
Like at one point, Jamie Kennedy
drinking tea. And he's like, "Oh, sorry, I'm just going." You keep saying that thought. I'm gonna go get some tea.
And then at one point, he just stands up and walks away for a while, and Larry just like sits quietly on the couch for like 20 seconds Jamie comes back. Like, why didn't you just cut that out? I don't understand.
I love that. I think that's actually pretty cool. Like, that's one thing I respect.
But look,
see, if there was some more of that in some of the masks,
yeah,
like the lead character just left for 20 seconds and the scene was vacant, maybe then the general masses would have appreciated the production more.
True.
You know, and being like, look at that. You know, when he shouts out the Australian actors, which I was very surprised about, Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah, he goes, a bunch of Australian actors.
But I think he meant like Madka, remember? She's Madka in it. Yeah, and some other people.
I didn't know that Jerry Minor from Mr. Show was in the movie. I've forgotten that.
Is he like work at the animation factory?
I'm not sure. He mentions that that Jerry Minor has a great scene in the cut they watched. So.
Oh, wow. Maybe. And remember the scene? Who's the comedian that they have?
Look at that. Who's that green guy?
Yeah.
Jeffrey Wright?
Yeah. No, that's Commissioner Gordon.
Oh, God.
Whatever. You know his name.
Yeah.
But it's so funny that they're like, yeah, and he had this scene where he goes, well, you don't get them all the time. And they just like act as if it's like they're laughing as though it's the funniest scene in the movie.
Yeah.
Stephen Wright.
Stephen Wright.
Yeah.
I swear I just said that.
No, you didn't. You said Jeffrey Wright.
Oh, shit.
Who's Commissioner Gordon?
Yeah. Okay. You got me. But yeah, man, we listened to
but the wildest things all four in that episodes where, so you didn't have Jamie to. Kennedy just like saying like he almost wants to say that James Gunn was inspired by it. He doesn't quite go there. But, you know, the director, like, you can tell he's gone to film school. And I'm not saying that in like that's a good thing. But he like understands story. He's like, the reason why Guardians of the Galaxy works, which I think is, first of all, like, James Gunn is a great director for that film. Like, and it's got a great script. And also...
it has an insane cast as
has
well.
James Gunn is the singular vision for that movie, too. You know what I mean? Like, that was the first MCU movie that, like, didn't feel like an MCU movie. It was light. It was kind of Feige let him do what he wanted. Beside the point, but it's like... the director, Larry, says that movie works so well because you have all these, like, insane, over-the-top things. Like, Groot the tree... Rocket Raccoon, but it's also grounded by like drama.
Yeah.
And you can't have all the weird shit without the drama. And they were just saying like the cut that the studio did, there are scenes and they were listing scenes that I remember and they're just like, they don't make sense. Like Jamie Kennedy, essentially, they kind of say like, for better or for worse, like he's insanely obnoxious in this because you don't see the calmer moments.
Yeah.
That earned that obnoxiousness. Not that I'm,
like he keeps saying that like he plays a straight man for the most part.
He's supposed to be the straight man.
I don't think he's capable of doing that.
No.
Yeah.
No. And they keep latching on to that amazing scene in Dumb and Dumber, which again is same when they talk about Guardians of the Galaxy. It's funny how much they talk about Jim Carrey too in this. Like, it's insane that they're like in his shadow constantly, even while talking about this, like not only with that film, but
I feel like it's pretty impossible to be a comedic actor and not be in Jim Carrey's shadow.
That success of that scene Dumb and Dumber. And it is rewatched Romeo and Juliet when he's just like in the first 10 minutes of the movie, it's like this drama scene basically where they're sitting down drinking beer and he's like, I'm a loser. We're fucked. This, you know,
I just want somebody to laugh.
Yeah. And the rest of the movie like works because of that scene. Because it is that heightened dumb shit afterwards, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But it's weighted by that. And yeah, Son of the Masters has none of that shit. Like, him racing around George Street in Sydney on that car with teeth. My favorite line, I wish I wrote them down, but I was like packing and stuff, is when Jamie Kennedy says in the original cut after the sperm, you see the wife like mount him.
Yes.
And say like, get back here. And he's like, yeah, that scene would have been great. You know, it's empowering for women. That's like dying because he's like, I don't look like I rape her now. Like,
yeah,
she wants to fuck me and that's empowering. Just amazing. I love that bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's empowering for women. You know, she pulls me back to bed and goes, where are you going?
At one point,
the director, Larry, he goes, honey, I'm home.
Oh yeah. He said
he actually does
amazing
it.
Line. Yeah. But at one point, like Larry's talking about how movies get made and then Jamie decides to interrupt him actually talking about movies and turns it into a metaphor for making carbonara.
Amazing.
The funniest thing is Larry's never heard of carbonara.
Yeah, he's like, huh? What's that? He's like, you know, you get like, you get some like fatty pig and you get some like egg and there's only five ingredients, but if you cook it too much, what's his name? Gordon Ramsay always says you can make wonton soup out of it.
You've got a pretty good Jamie Kennedy accent going on.
Angus Truscott experience. Wait. What's the show? Jamie Kennedy Experiment?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, Angus Truscott Experiment. I you know, I guess when I do my impressions, Jamie is always somebody. Yep. Actually, his Eddie Murphy one was great.
Isn't it just, hey?
Yeah. Hey! Damn!
So that's us talking about the insanity that is Jamie Kennedy.
I like that you're ending that segment.
Yeah, I've got to end it. I want to do it. We never make it easy for ourselves.
Hope not.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's hear a word from our sponsor.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, we're back. Let's open these lollies and talk about the big, big move.
This is crazy.
Because, like, yeah, in the same, like...
Bro, oh, smell that
holy
shit. I want you
shit,
to smell
this
it.
Smells so fucking good.
I want
so
you to go dubs on it.
Oh. So these are the Kirk's...
Dude, I can smell it from here.
These are the Kirk's, the new Allen's Kirk's lollies.
For all of you non-Australian listeners, it's
Kirk
like,
is like it's like soda, but like they're like sodas that have been
around.
It's
not Coke,
around.
It's not Pepsi, it's like Australian.
So there's creaming soda, which I don't know what the... I guess like based on like a cream soda, but it's, yeah, like, it's like vaguely
raspberry. Bright red here,
yeah,
instead of like
grenadine.
Brown.
It's like fizzy grenadine. And they do a lemonade, and then their most famous Posito, which is a passion fruit drink.
The lemonade is the best one on the market.
So this is, let's go creaming soda first. And so yeah, they've made lollies version of these, candy.
Smells like the creaming soda.
Oh, let's just take a little red lolly.
No, there's that hint of like...
A little zing.
That muskiness, you know, that creaming soda has that weird musk almost.
That Elon Musk.
Mm. Jamie, pull up, Posito.
All right, you ready?
Dude,
for,
yeah, of course I'm ready.
For lemonade?
Oh, yeah, I love the lemonade. Kirk's lemonade, the best.
That was a good lemonade lolly. You don't get...
Oh, yeah. Normally lemonade lollies are shit. They don't...
I was late to recording today because I decided I needed to try these with Angus tonight.
I'm so glad you did because I've been dying to get them. I looked.
You're not going to get them in Bali, brother.
I'll tell you what. No, what am I going to get them?
The best
Milo?
Peanuts in the world. Really good.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Bobby Gooling, Suckling Pig.
Oh, I know that. I mean, get like, fucked. Confectionery.
Confectionery? I don't know. I don't
just
know.
Milo stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Milo's massive there and where
and
else?
Singapore and Malaysia.
Fiji and stuff. Now, I've been...
Remember the Posito? That's the one. That is a
cheap.
Knockout.
Cheap.
Jesus, that's good.
Did you try the Frosty Fruits one a few years ago?
Yeah, they sucked.
Mm, this is so much better. Because mm-hmm. This actually tastes like the drinks.
Yeah. Posito. Despacito.
Brother. I've been checking out the McDonald's menu for when I
save
arrive.
It, bro.
Oh.
Save it for a future episode.
Okay.
So.
Damn.
The big shocking development.
Oh, yeah.
Is that after hot on the heels of finding out about this, like, you know, crazy Son of the Mask deep dive that wasn't done by us. It was done by the guys who actually made the movie.
One thing you got to say, too, it ends kind of, there's a will they, won't they. I mean, Jamie's very much inspired by the Schneider car. And he keeps speaking about this app he used that up-resed something he made.
Oh, that's the funniest part when he's trying to talk him into up-resing Son of the Mask.
He's like, hey, you know, you take something you shot in 2006, makes it look like it's shot in 2025.
Yeah.
Makes it 8K
or something like that, some AI software. And it basically ends with him like, not threatening, but like almost forcing Larry on mic to say they want to release it somehow.
I'll watch that garbage.
But I was saying that because as one project might see the light of day, another has closed its door.
Another pillar.
Yeah.
It's the end of a pillar. So I got a notification this week.
Your Tumix subscription?
My Tumix subscription had been renewed. I was like, fuck, I haven't gone to Tumix.com in a while.
Passport. license, Tumix. They're the three things you got to worry about renewing. They're the only
The main pillars of my life.
That's it.
And so Tumix is a Korean-based comic, online comic service where you it's best suited to reading on your phone because they scroll.
What do they call that again? Jamie, what do they call that again?
Manhwa?
No, I mean like the white person word.
For like comics? I don't know.
Like the infinite scroll style.
I can't remember.
There's a word for it.
Okay. Scrolling comics.
Yeah.
And Tumix special. Like they have some that anyone can read.
Not many.
On their family friendly, the family safe side of their website. But you're going to want to hit that toggle. Go to 18+.
It is like deviant art, isn't it? Essentially, it's like fans writing really horny.
These guys get fucking paid money, I'm sure. Like,
I don't reckon Sexy Bomb gets that much.
Dude, there is no way someone puts that much effort into a comic every single week. Two people. Without making bank.
To be honest, not a lot happens in the comics. In that one in particular.
Nah, like, look, even it's not my type of art for sure. Not my tempo. But, like, you have to respect the craft.
I respect the craft.
So, they do horny as fuck porn comics. They're like, they're not quite porn because they have to...
You have to censor...
Censor genitals.
Penises.
Dicks and pussies.
That's right.
Letter A's. And
it's... They don't just like pixelate it. They don't pixelate it at all, actually. They like make it white, like a just ghost. White. Like, yeah, yeah. Like Casper's got a heart on.
Ghost schlong.
Yeah.
My aunt was basically the one that stole our hearts. And it was written by...
My aunt's the
written
one...
Written by Sexy Bong with art by Viagra. Or yeah. Vice versa. There's their pen and pencil names. It's about a...
The penis and vagina names.
Let's just call him a simpleton named Mike. But he has a giant dick. And he falls in love with his aunt.
This story is insane. I mean, I don't even think they... They must have like a roadmap or something. Like
darts.
Manatees. I remember reading that like George R. R. Martin, the guy who writes Game of Thrones, like
thanks,
he relies...
For clarifying.
Well, I don't really know who he is. I needed you to back me up there. He relies on fans, like when he's like writing, because he's like... The lore is so deep that he knows he's like hardcore fan. He'll be like, hey, can this person be there at this time? And like fans have had to be like, no, you can't say... That can't happen because you've already said this happens. He's like, okay, thanks. Because he's like, they know better than me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I would like to think that you and I at one point could have been... their version of that, just like, could the pedophile come back from the dead in this scene? They're like, no, because when he left, Mike thought he'd killed him. But it turns out, Mike can't be there because he's at the university being blindfolded and fucked by like his stepsister's friends in the like janitor's closet.
So in the lead up to recording today, I was like, oh fuck, you know, we've just renewed our subscription.
Nine creaming sodas.
So I've got like three pesitos in a row. It's been a dream over here.
Damn.
I went on to Tumix.com and, to catch up on my series.
I really hope they were the sponsor then too.
On a perfect world, they would be just paying us direct.
That's all I want.
They would be a Hey Fam Tumix.
All I want is them.
A BL
Tumix. That's all I've ever wanted as a sponsor. Yeah.
My co-host.
Mike. Yeah.
I went to my aunt. And so when the series is over, it says like, ended. In the top right corner. And sure enough, my aunt ended. And we had no idea. It ended in December last year.
So we've gone 9 months.
The last time I had read up to issue chapter 136 when I last talked about Tumix in November of last year.
So I think you and I were up to it. Fucking hell. Okay.
There were four more chapters. And then I was almost at the very end.
So I was up to where they're living in like South Korea. They're living in Seoul in an apartment.
Yeah, with a sugar daddy.
Mike is being like...
Who has a pathetic dick.
Pathetic dick. Mike is being fucked by like his stepsister and her friends at school.
Yeah.
Photography assignments. Remember that?
Yeah.
But the stepsister realizes she likes him
mm-hmm.
and then gets jealous and then has caught the aunt, her stepmother, sneaking in to fuck Mike while he's asleep because the dad isn't satisfying her.
Yeah.
Now, where is that?
And
in
then also, the dad has a daughter who's also fucking Mike.
Well, that's the one I meant. Isn't that the...
Oh, but then there's also like...
Oh, he has another daughter from another marriage.
Like the actual aunt's daughter. His aunt's daughter.
Oh,
who's not actually his aunt.
That's right. And then the pedophile comes back, right?
Yeah, all kinds of bullshit.
You're going to have to show me that login. What is it? I don't say it on the
I wonder how many listeners we could get reading on our Toomix account before we got our account banned. I was on Toomix. I finished my aunt. I'm going to wait. So Angus is going to... This is his holiday homework.
Well, dude, I'm going on a plane. You know, the last time I... This is what I was saying. You know, the last time I read Toomix in front... The last time I deep dived...
You're going to make sure you take a hoodie on the flight.
Of course I am.
Put the hood up.
Hood up. Toomix man.
Toomix man.
Yeah. Nature's hand. Of course, I've already planned this. So I've got to finish my aunt, right?
Yep. So I finished my aunt. Let me just say, they wrapped that shit up pretty quickly.
Really?
And it's fucking hilarious.
Is it done well or not?
No, it's atrocious. It's so funny.
I mean, you sent that amazing screenshot to me where he's saying, like, talking of his intelligence and perhaps there's been a trade-off biologically for his intelligence in his penis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that happens all the time.
The thing is, though, that screenshot, Angus, that wasn't from my aunt.
What?
Because the week after my aunt finished... The fucking madmen are back at it again. Sexy Bong and Viagra have teamed up.
No, this is amazing.
For a new series called The Unforeseen Guest.
Which is very, let me guess, it's about somebody staying.
So it is about a, here's the plot synopsis. Unforeseen guests and unforeseen temptations are in the air.
Mm.
And I can't remember what the main character's name
is. Pasito, man.
Oh, man, let's just say his name is Pasito.
Yep. Rango Pasito.
Let's see what this kid's name is.
So it's not Mike.
No, it's not
I
Mike.
I guess they have a style then.
Of course, yeah.
Because he looked exactly like
Kyle. His name is Kyle. Mike and Kyle.
Do you know why I thought it was Mike? Because he had a huge cock and he was holding it. And he said the line, like something about like his intelligence or something.
So the writer is Viagra. The artist is Sexy Bong.
Yeah.
So the unforeseen guest is about a guy who, this guy, he's like a younger dude who lives with his dad. They're in a poor town in Korea.
Sounds familiar.
And it's there's been a flood.
My uncle.
And so they have to welcome in some neighbors. And the neighbor is a woman that he's known since he was little.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband, who is a shithead.
Pedophile, probably, I reckon. We'll find out.
And then their three children.
What gender are they?
Doesn't matter about the children. They're always young and asleep. Because if you thought the only thing that was missing from my aunt were my aunt's sex scenes were three sleeping children visible at all times, this series has that in spades.
So much like my aunt, they 10 of them sleep in the living room.
Yep, they all sleep in the same room.
I like that. It's them like pushing themselves because they're like, remember when Mike used to fuck aunt? There was like six other people in the room, but they're all like 18 upwards.
Yeah. I got a few good screenshots. Can I show you?
Is that Son of the Mask?
So this is the final panel of the last ever chapter of My Aunt. You can read it for me.
So we see like a frame. There's fireworks in the air. And then there's it looks like a paint splatter. It's white. And it says... Spurt, 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 and then the end, which I think is like kind of brilliant.
So the last thing Mike does is come.
I was about to say where, but I don't want to spoil.
And one of the last girls he does it with yells, "Ah, my uterus!"
Just like old times, huh?
How good's his face in this?
He looks like a fish.
Anyway, so there's this kid, Kyle, who has to sleep in the same room.
He looks exactly like Mike.
Yeah, and guess what else is similar about
him? That's why I thought...
He's a bit of a loser, simpleton. This guy's a shrimp, and he gets bullied at school because he's little. But he's not little where it counts. And there is an insane panel...
This bit's wild.
...where he's just holding this gigantic, glowing white dick. And it says, "I think all the nutrition that was supposed to go to my height went to my dick."
Happens all the time. That's amazing. So what's the woman like that he's fucking? Is she an aunt to somebody at least?
No, she's like a neighbor, but she's someone else's wife and mother. And they basically just have dream. Her husband is a shithead who can't fulfill her sexually. She never comes. And wouldn't you know it, little Kyle's big ass dick is the first thing that ever makes her come.
It's the right. Now, is he conscious?
Here
when
is
they have
my
sex?
favorite fucking line from the series. So if I'm only 11 chapters in, there's already like 40.
Oh, thank fuck.
They're so prolific. Here is, it's the, can you read out? This is my favorite line.
Yeah.
Maybe from any Toomic ever.
Okay. Her pussy was so mad at her that it started queefing. Why is it angry at her? Why is it sentient?
Because she won't let her mind won't let her body fuck the Kyle. Midget kid with the giant
so
dick
the while his while her
children sleep next to him.
And so it starts farting.
Pussy starts queefing.
That's amazing. These guys have definitely been around ladies before.
It's so good.
I love it, man. That's so good. I'm so glad they're in there. Like, what is an unexpected guess?
What's it called? The unforeseen guest.
Sick. Damn.
It's just the art is so fucked. And yeah, that. Oh my god! I just saw. Holy shit! There's a Tumic series called Stretched Out Love, and then there's another one called. Oh my god. The ladies. Oh, the ladies associate. I thought it was just called the ladies.
Is this by them?
No, these are all just different.
Oh, okay.
So, look, there's a lot of fucking ridiculous, horny Tumics that I'm going to be reading in while Angus is away for the next two weeks.
We've got a few weeks off now, haven't you?
In that hour, we've got a few weeks on. But I'm going to be just an expert in Tumics when you return.
Yeah. You're going to... I can't wait for your TikTok to pivot from unboxing, like, children's toys to just straight up screen recording Tumics. And
I would love to do like a recap of everything that happened. I mean, I'd get banned from TikTok immediately.
We could do it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think we green screen it.
We'll do an OnlyFans.
And we just censor stuff out.
We just talk about
in
explicit detail what happens in.
You're allowed to, you know, you can be like, you know, people who say things like unalive and stuff on TikTok, you know, so they don't get banned.
Yeah.
We could use that language.
The series Unforeseen Roommate. That's Unforeseen Guest is so fucked already. Like,
what's the number one on the charts? I always like to check that.
Oh, is there a chart?
There's a chart or like, yeah, there's usually like...
Weekly?
I was checking Tumics.
Okay, this is how we're going to close out the episode. I'll let you know the top 10.
Top 10. Tumics. Read adult manga.
Oh my god, there's one called Milk Therapy. I gotta figure out what that shit is.
I need some of that if you catch my drift.
It's just giving me because CEO you read, sudden proposal. Recommended because you read my. What? How do you see the charts?
I used to be able to see it.
There's one called. I read a little bit of that one. Dog on Patrol. That one's sick.
The name's sick.
Sergeant Bryn, the hot manager at my new job, used to be my sergeant in the military.
Is it email?
And boy, do we have a past. Yeah, email.
I'll get you to sign in for me, please.
Well, let's end this episode. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to a very special episode of
very like
Hey Fam.
Celebrating. Cum heavy, wasn't it? Son of the Mask,
spurt.
Spurt Cobain.
We are going to record an episode of PayFam now. We may have already recorded it last week, and I'm trying to remember what we talked about. Angus reviews going to see Avatar.
Oh, I think so.
So if you want to hear him talk about Avatar, unless we already put that up last week, I don't know. In which case, mystery episode of PayFam awaits you.
Joe Biden's probably in it. And Nintendo dunking.
And Aziz, maybe?
Maybe Aziz. I can't really remember.
Did we do Donald Trump reviewing the... I think that... Donald Trump watching the Nintendo Direct.
Yep.
I think that's what this one is.
I think that's all
it's
it is.
It's the fucking best thing Angus has ever done.
I think that's all it
Even
is.
Even better than his Jamie Kennedy voice. So please head on over to patreon.com/heyfam. Every single dollar that you put into HeyFam will either go towards Tumix or Angus buying McDonald's in Bali.
Yeah, I've been peeping that Indonesian menu and it's looking
pretty
fresh.
We should do a full-on episode right now for next week about
the menu.
McDonald's Indonesia.
I love that idea menu. Let's hit it.
What is Angus going to order? So yeah, come and hear us over at patreon.com/heyfam. You get a bonus episode this week and two episodes next week too. Plus
we're
you get
talking
access
about Rango next month maybe.
Yeah, plus you get access to our Discord. We would love to have you in there talking about all the cum that we talk about on the show.
Spurt.
Come mourn my aunt with us.
Spurt? What do they call? Oh, Sprout. They kept calling you a Sprout. Which video game did you say they kept calling you a Sprout in?
What the fuck?
You're playing it with your kids?
A Sprout?
And they're like, oh, they kept calling like beginners Sprouts.
I can't remember for the life of me. Oh, yeah, it was
Kirby or something?
No, it's the Dr. What's-His-Face's like the brain training.
Oh, yeah, right.
Brain training. That's Sprout. It's old. That was like this time last year.
Really?
I was playing that. Yeah.
I have nice memory.
Hey, anyway, thanks so much for listening. Have a good holiday, Angus.
Bye, thank you.
Come over to PayFam. Bye. Thanks. Hey!
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.